It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay, we are live, or recorded. Yep. I mean, I'm alive. You alive?
It's debatable.
Mostly.
So, I had this idea, actually.
I hate when this happens. What?
So, you know how, you know, when you're in school and they're talking about viruses and how viruses are a strange type of thing because they're kind of alive
and kind of not? Yeah.
What if viruses are actually nanotechnology created by aliens?
I'm so sick of you watching the History Channel.
And then they put viruses on this planet because early evolution is not sexual reproduction. It's the sharing of phages and virus-like material back and forth until sexual reproduction develops in some organisms. So maybe the fact is they are little machines that have been planted here by alien species. What do you think?
I think that every time somebody comes up with a theory that is just out there and flies in the face of all the existing knowledge and no one has come up with before, it almost always seems to be people who don't have a lot of educational experience in the field in question.
Almost always,
like,
yeah.
Yeah. The classic example, of course, is that flat earthers, like, you never hear of, like, astrophysicists or any kind of or any really kind of scientist or mathematician
being a flat earther. Yeah.
Being a flat earther. And, like, I don't know, but I am betting a virologist could give you specific reasons why that wouldn't be true.
Yeah, probably.
Now, and that's before we get to the alien component. Which I'm like, okay, whatever. But
I actually hate ancient alien theories. I hate them.
I love them as fodder. I love them as conspiracy theories are the basis for most good urban fantasy nowadays.
Right, but
the world beneath the world.
The thing I don't like about ancient alien theories, aside from the fact that they're completely unnecessary.
Yeah.
You know, we things can just emerge and evolve. We don't need it's just begging the question. If you say aliens started life on Earth, well, what started aliens? You're not really answering any questions.
We did. It's all interconnected.
But one of the other reasons I dislike the ancient alien stuff is it's a lot like the evolutionary psychology stuff, where if someone makes up a story and it sounds cool enough, like it would make a good novel, say, that's treated as evidence.
Yeah.
That it's true.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, no. Just because you think it's a cool story and you can get about 1,000 other people to agree it's a cool story, that doesn't constitute evidence of the truth of it.
Also, like EvoPsych, it's frequently based on some simple assumptions from our modern society that don't necessarily apply
exactly
to biological things or stuff like that.
Or a profound misunderstanding of how science works.
Yeah. Like, and I mean, the entire alien thing is hilarious to me because if there are aliens, they probably defy any understanding we have of how animals work or possibly even how life works. And so in science fiction, we all have hands and feet and arms and heads and stuff. And that's fine. In science fiction, it would suck. Otherwise, it'd be really complicated. And some of those people play with it, but only a little bit, because otherwise it's just like, wow, we can never at all communicate in any meaningful way.
Yeah.
In reality, that's probably what it would be like.
Yeah, probably.
So, shut up. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that has two sets of hosts and that sound very similar to each other.
Mm-hmm. Almost identical.
Yeah.
Almost.
I'm Evil Tony.
And I'm Evil William.
We don't know what episode number this is. We're just going to jump in here, so let me get this out of the way. The way this show works normally, there's a hat, it's a magic. It has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. People, somewhere out there. But the other night we were falling asleep, and Addie, got up out of the bed and ran over to the little baldry next to the window and was looking out the window and just started yowling. But not like he saw something. He just was singing the song of his people. And he paused, and I leaned over to Trish, and I was like, somewhere out there beneath the pale moonlight. Anyway, people write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, topics. I love that I've got background music for this, and that it's from American Tale. They write into that email address with a little shit. And the hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards that manifest physically within the hat itself, with the information written on them. And usually two loser guys, who, again, sound very similar to us, draw the note cards out at random, read them on the air, talk about them some, mostly just screw around a lot. And then when they can't do it, the multiverse conspires to make us do it. And so we're just like them, but evil. That's all I got. How are you doing? I don't really care.
I'm doing evil.
All right, then. Me too. Let's draw some things.
Okay.
Let's do some drawing. Do you remember Mike Myers?
Yes. And
do you remember seeing it and thinking he was parodying a specific show you saw when you were a child?
Well, there was a... Well, you know my name is Simon.
Was that a real thing?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because I always thought that, but I thought I was going insane.
No, that's a real thing.
So he was actually parodying a specific children's...
Yep.
All right. Then I feel
well, but he wasn't...
Weird.
In the children's thing, he wasn't sitting in a tub... Or whatever.
Calling everybody cheeky monkeys.
Yeah, anything like
but,
that.
But, I mean, there was a show where somebody named Simon did...
He could draw things and it sort of came to life or whatever.
All right. It was less weird then. All right. Still pretty weird, though.
Beth. Looks like she has a question for me.
All right. I'm going to take a nap.
William, what are your go-to dance moves? All the right moves with a W, right? Oh, cute. All the right moves in all the right places. Oh, says Tony can answer, too.
No, thank you.
My go-to dance move? Do you have go-to dance moves?
I mean, I did when I was younger. I did a lot of the step to the side, step to the side, step to the side. I was one of those. So, in my school, there was no such thing as, a school dance or anything in elementary school mm-hmm. through sixth grade. But in seventh grade, there were dances.
Yeah.
And in eighth grade, there were dances.
Yeah.
And we went to them, and then in high school, I think there were dances. They were the formal dances or whatever, but I think there were other ones, but we never went to those. But, in junior high, there's. But in the spring, there would be a dance that was just for the sixth graders and the seventh graders. So, the people who were coming into, who would be there next year. And so that was the sixth graders' first chance to go dancing. And I was one of those kids who would just, try and do it and look ridiculous. As opposed to most of the sixth graders who would just hang around the wall, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I was terrible at it, but we would try. It was a lot of just step. It was sort of just like the same moves you would do when you would slow dance, except a little faster and not without another person. So that was kind of my go-to move a lot. I don't know. I'm into the Cabbage Patch.
I don't know what that is.
Is this one?
Oh, why is it called the Cabbage
Patch? I don't know. Just the other day, I saw somebody doing the Cabbage Patch and talking about how they're doing the Cabbage Patch. And I'm like, "Why? I don't know why that's called the Cabbage Patch." Came around sometime, the Roger Rabbit, the Running Man. I could do the Running Man. I could not do the Roger Rabbit. I really wanted to do the Roger Rabbit. I could never figure it out. It was very complicated. I don't know. You got dance moves?
Uh, Do I have dance moves?
Yeah.
Well,
I used to be pretty good at the jitterbug.
When
I was flipping curls around, and
we
stuff.
Had
I could do that.
We had dances starting in junior high, also and through high school, and I went to them sometimes, but only if I was going with somebody.
Oh, see, you mean like with a date or like with friends?
Yeah, with a date.
We didn't ever have dates at the junior high ones. We just would all go as friends.
So otherwise, I wouldn't go, and if I had a date, we would like do slow dances and stuff. But then if it wasn't a slow dance, we'd usually just, you know, talk or get something at the concession stand or something. So I didn't really dance that much when I was in high school or junior high. Now, we had musicals, and sometimes there were dance numbers.
Yeah,
and
I would learn stuff, and you'd learn grapevines and box step and scissor step.
Stuff like that.
Yeah. And that's how, through that and through PE courses. Well, I mean, didn't PE make you dance at some point?
No.
We had to learn square dancing and jitterbug. In a couple of different PE courses.
There might have been a square dance thing.
And the jitterbug was useful because we would do swing dancing in some of the – like we tried to do Grease and stuff. And so I got pretty good at swing dancing. And like I could – like I'm not kidding when I'm like do the bit where you throw the girls around and all that stuff. We got pretty good.
but other than that, I don't – you know, dancing wasn't really my thing. I don't – I wonder if that would – that probably doesn't surprise anybody. Now, but when I was home alone, like, you know, with the family.
Singing into your hairbrush?
Well, especially when the kids were young, we'd play music and I would dance with the kids or whatever. Mm. And the kids used to, when they got older, they used to make fun of, like, what seemed to be my go-to moves. But, I mean, they didn't have names. They're just what I would do.
Just your things. Yeah.
And they would impersonate them. It was pretty hilarious. But they weren't anything. I mean, I don't even know if I could remember how to do them.
I like to raise the roof a lot. That's a good one I like to do. I like to pop and lock because I grew up at just the right time where like that was like break dancing was a thing and we all wanted to break dance, but it consisted of doing a pop and lock, occasionally doing the robot, and then every once in a while trying to do a head spin and hurting our necks. Like that's how it always. Oh, and the worm. For a little while, I could do the worm. Or the centipede or whatever, that thing. I could do it. It hurt my stomach, but I could do it.
Well, one thing, I don't think when I danced around with the kids, or even like now, if I'm at home and my wife and I are goofing off, I don't think there's like one thing I do, and they don't have any names. But there is something that I'll find myself doing sometimes when music is playing, and I guess this is something I do a lot. There's a move that you do where... I don't know how to describe it. You know, on one foot you're moving the heel, and on the other foot you're moving your toe, and you do that alternately. So, if someone's looking at your feet, it has a almost a moonwalking effect, except sideways. And if they're not looking at your feet, you just look like you're smoothly sort of going left or going right, depending on how you're doing it. Have you ever?
Oh, I think I know. I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
And you can do it different ways. Like
it does kind of look like a sideways moonwalk.
Yeah. The way I do it, it's very subtle, but you can move your feet in a certain way to make it more dramatic. So it even looks more like you were saying, like a sideways moonwalk. But I usually do it in the way that takes the least work. And mostly what I'm trying to do is
get to the kitchen.
You just move back and forth smoothly, like I'm on wheels or something. But the thing is, you can. I don't know why I do that, but sometimes when I'm listening to music, it's like I'm tapping my foot, except I'm tapping my heel and toe alternately on my feet, and it's making me move back and forth sideways like that. So I guess that's kind of a go-to dance move because of all the things that I do when I'm goofing off, that seems to be the thing I do the most.
Now, tell me.
Usually I'm just improvising.
Tell me if
I mean?
I'm getting the image. I'm picturing you doing this. You're wearing an all-white suit.
No.
That's how I'm seeing this.
No. But, I mean, when I'm dancing around at home, and it's just...
Occasionally you just go, yeah!
You just goof off. You know, you just move however your brain... So it's not like moves. It's just moving. That's probably the only move I do with my feet, that thing I just described.
I've always been obsessed with dance.
I mean, it is,
if there is such a thing as like a real lifelong regret of mine, it's that I wish I had been a dancer, but like a real, like, not I go now and I take classes on how to salsa or whatever. I mean, like a straight up serious ballet, modern jazz, hip hop dancer. Cause I love it. I think it's amazing. And I wish I could do that kind of stuff.
Dance as an art form is not something I have a lot of appreciation for. And I think a lot of people who casually like to dance or like to go out dancing.
Yeah.
I don't think I get that impulse very often. And when I do it at home just to goof off, I mean, I have fun doing it, but it doesn't leave me thinking, oh wow, we should go out and do
this. Yeah. I think I get it from my dad because he does it a lot too. We are very rhythm focused. And so listening to stuff, there'll be a lot of drumming or fake, like, going along and stuff. And so it is not uncommon for me to do something to the beat of something.
Sure.
Or make up drum fills on things and stuff like that. And I think I get it from my dad, because when I watch him nowadays, I'm like, oh, my God, I do that same stuff he's doing.
Well, I mean, I am a musician. I mean, so...
Allegedly.
Music is a thing for me. But playing it and listening to it, dancing to it just every once in a while. It's not really a thing. So I guess
I dance a lot, but yeah, it's just fucking around. It's basically just moving to the beat. It's just enjoying the beat.
So when you were in college, did you quote unquote go out dancing ever or
no? I went to dances, but we just would drink and hang out, and we danced some, but like it was like a slightly more debauched version of the junior high dances.
But I mean, that's a thing that people do. So
yeah.
I've never done it.
And I did clubbing for a while.
Oh, well, that's the kind of
thing
I mean, maybe.
Which was a more debauched version of the college dances. Like, you just go out and you just move your body and then occasionally try and flirt with people. Which was hard because it's very loud in here. And also because we're all covered in sweat. So it's a little gross. But we're wearing funky outfits that, again, are soaked in sweat. But, like, the hormones are raging. And do you come to this club very often? I've never been. It seems really cool.
Where did you go clubbing?
In London, I went to a couple of different places, mostly a club called GAY, and then there was a club called Limelight we went to a couple of times. Heaven, I went to Heaven, and then I went to a place in Portland, near the Roxbury, but I don't remember what it was called, and for a very short time, there was a place in Salem that I went to a bit. But yeah, it was the 90s. Everybody kind of had to. It was like a rule.
Do you think Beth's asking that because of that discotheque I was in Montreal or wherever it was?
I think it's possible that gave her the inspiration. I think she's asking you because she loves this pun. And I will always hate
right
her
ones.
For that. Yes. If you didn't hear it, it's all the right moves in all the right places. Both of those were spelled with W's because Beth is history's greatest monster.
History's greatest monster.
So when I was in,
what does that mean?
What it sounds like, he goes, you know, Stalin, Hitler.
She can't top Adjetalin. She can't top.
That is true. Okay, second history's second greatest monster.
I thought you were talking about like Loch Ness monster.
No.
Bigfoot. Who wins? Who?
No.
Who's the best?
No. Like the most horrific beings ever to exist. Beth's up there because of that pun. No, when I was in sixth grade, my friend Shannon had a birthday party. It was a bunch of sixth graders.
Was Shannon male or female?
Female. It was quite a while before I found out that Shannon could be a male name. I grew up with a lot of girl Shannons. And it was all boys and girls. And it was our first, like, I had had birthday parties where I had had friends who were girls who I invited. Mm. But this was the first one where, like, it was a boy-girl party, and that was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, we played some of the dumbest. We played like Spin the Bottle, I think.
How old were you?
Sixth grade.
Sixth grade, okay.
So this was all about that kind of business. But the reason I bring this up here is also one of her friends was a girl named Colleen who was in seventh grade. Mm-hmm. And we all knew her because when we were in fifth grade, she'd been in sixth grade. So we were familiar with her. But she had moved on to junior high. And she, that night, taught us all to slow dance. And we practiced a lot. And we practiced to the Beach Boys song, Kokomo.
Just over and over?
Yeah. We didn't mind because we were touching other bodies, albeit just barely with our fingertips like this. But that was huge. We were losing our minds. It was such a romantic night in our head. And then...
romantic.
Later... in the year, there was the dance where the sixth graders went and the seventh graders were there, and it was just before the school year was over to sort of do a mixer before you went to junior high. And we went there, and everybody was being awkward, and then they did a slow dance, and everybody was really being awkward. And my friend, Jenny, who is my oldest friend, also my first girlfriend, she and I dated for 2 years when we were 3 and 4 years old. We were going to get married and live at her mom's house. She had been at this same birthday party, Shannon's birthday party, and she's like, you want to dance? This is ridiculous that nobody's dancing. We can do it. It's not a big deal. And also, they showed us how. Let's just do it. And we did it. So we go out there, and we're dancing. And, I got my hands on her hips, and she got her hands up on my shoulders. And we're going back and forth. And a random seventh grader we never saw before comes over, grabs us both by the shoulders, and she says, you don't step, you sway. And that was the bit that we were missing from slow dancing. Because we were literally doing the step, step, step. And so that was how we learned. And it was a very formidable moment.
You can step if you want to.
No, it's that seventh grader who I don't know what her name was and never met her again was insistent. And she fixed us. And then we were better. That was powerful slow dancing. Time in my life. I don't know. I tell that story a lot. It's fun. All right. This one from Stu. You remember Stu?
Johnny Stu.
While listening to a podcast, how do you remember all the comments you want to make on their blog? I mean, I feel like you should field this one, at least to start with.
I should?
Yeah.
Why?
Because there are two components to this. Listening to a podcast and making comments on that podcast blog. And I know, at least in one instance, you do both of those things. I don't do any of those. And at one point, I did one of them. And at one point, I kind of did the other. But never together, so...
I have very little to add to this. I have to open two windows because if I'm listening and I hear something, I think, oh, I can comment right now, and I press the comment button, it'll like refresh the whole window and it'll stop the podcast. So I've got to open two windows, and if I'm listening and I think of something, then I'll go to the comment, quote unquote, comment window, and I'll put my comment in while I'm listening. That way I don't have to remember.
That seems smart.
But I have to do it like that. I don't know why. Is it something wrong with my browser? The browser I use, as soon as I go into comments, it refreshes the whole page and it stops the podcast.
No, I think even when I'm not listening to the podcast, if I go and make a comment, it does that. I think that's just how the WordPress site works.
So, yeah, I just have two windows open and I comment as I'm listening.
All right.
And I can pause it, too, if I feel like it.
Or you could take notes. I mean, these are things people could do. I have not... The age at which I had comment. Well, first of all, I never commented on podcasts like in their blog format. A podcast that I listened to regularly had a forum that I was active on. Mm-hmm. But again, if I had things to comment about particular episodes, I just remembered and did it later. And if I didn't remember, it didn't happen. I don't know. It's never been a thing. I'm older now. I could see it being a problem for me.
Well, I would never remember if I didn't do it right away. Or So.
Yeah, no, I'll be like, oh, yeah, that's what that was about. But, no, it never has been a thing for me. I can understand. I mean, I'm going to go out on a limb here. This dude is primarily asking, as relates to our podcast, or those other guys' podcasts specifically. And I feel like it is a bigger deal because we are a much smaller community. So you really, if you get on the blog, you really do sort of have a voice.
Yeah, we're going to
so
see
then,
it.
And read it and often reply to it.
Right.
And so I guess in some ways then it makes the comments more important.
Yeah, in a way.
And so then it matters. But yeah, I mean, ultimately, Stu, you're pretty much stuck with some form of write the notes simultaneously while you're listening, whether in another window or in a notepad or on a literal notepad. Or, no, that's it. That is your only option.
Yep.
Take notes or live stream it. Because we're all too old to just remember it all.
I think Mark and Blood Sparrow would like have their comment thing open while they're listening and just keep a running thing.
I definitely think Mark did.
Just keep a running thing.
Because his was very streamer consciousness, and sometimes he would even be like, what is this about? And then later he's like, oh, you explained it now. So, yeah.
But a lot of times I didn't know what they were talking about because they would make a comment out of context, and I wouldn't
remember. Well, and especially if it was a few weeks later.
Yeah.
No idea. Well, and yeah, there would be no context. So it would be like, Star Trek? Really, Tony? Are you that stupid? I'm like, what the hell did I say about Star Trek?
A month ago.
I don't remember. And as I haven't pointed out in a while, but I feel like I should, I've never listened to a single episode of the show. Don't care for it. I know it's not my cup of tea. I find the hosts abrasive. I don't like it. All right, draw another thing. I feel like there's not much we can add there.
And the pictures take me climbing.
I feel like I've triggered something for which I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm going along with you or something like that.
Get the hell out of my face.
Coffee!
Haven't heard from Coffee in a while. In the podcast, I talk to Coffee on an almost daily basis. And I knew she was still listening. But
what was the most significant plot twist in your life in the last year?
Well, that's tricky because we don't like to place the year things, but I think we can go with this.
Kabang. My wife changed jobs.
That was a pretty big plot twist.
Yeah, and I won't get into all of the details. I mean, just saying that, probably people would go, yeah, that's a pretty big plot twist. But even how it came about was a pretty, came out of left field, sort of a curveball kind of thing.
And how it resolved was
kind
of a
surprise. Resolved, yeah, there's just a lot of things about it that's like, I mean, this is something that we've talked about recently. Like, she now in her new job, she travels. Mm. And when she got back from one of her trips, I remember saying, now think about this time a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
You had no idea that you'd be going on these trips and you'd be coming back and we'd be talking about the things we're talking about just a year ago.
Yeah.
A dramatic change. It's pretty amazing. You know, those things happen. It's funny how you can go along for a long time and it seems like every year is kind of like the one before it. And then something happens and it's like, oh my gosh, this year is completely different from last year.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's a good thing and sometimes it's not. But that's probably the biggest thing in the last year.
That does seem pretty big.
What about you?
I don't know. Professionally, mine was pretty big too. I mean, I sort of switched jobs. My whole work group got moved to a different, larger group, and then I got taken out of my group and sort of moved into another, but I'm still sort of doing the same things, but it's changing, and it's still a work in progress, but my new position is presenting me with more varied and more interesting and more challenging work. Of the kind of stuff that I haven't actually really done before in the workplace.
Mm.
One of the big ones is I'm doing a fair bit of editing.
Oh, yeah.
Which, not like copy editing, but like people are like, I'm going to publish this. Will you look at it first and tell me how to do an article? Or
right, right.
Sort. And that was very cool and scary because it's something I've done and it's something I feel qualified to do. It's not something I've ever done in a workplace scenario.
Right, right.
So that's been interesting. But just a lot of stuff being thrown at me. And so it's a little scary and uncertain at this point. And it's harder, but it's still in a realm that I feel I can do. My last boss, bless her heart, worked really hard to try and do this. She was not in a position where she could, and she would try. She would volunteer me to, like, Tony can help with that and try and get me into stuff. But I think she was limited in what she could get for me. And so I did work that I found fine and I was happy with, but it wasn't really difficult and it got fairly straightforward. And now I'm in a group that has a lot more things going on and a lot more resources available. And so they just sort of tossing things at me. And honestly, I don't think I could be. Part of it is I'm very shocked. I've talked to my new boss because it's technically my boss's boss. And I'm like, they're really just throwing stuff out of nowhere at me that I'm not even sure why they think I can do it. I think I can, but and she's like, I think it just shows that they trust you. Hmm. And I was like, yeah. And I'm like, how is that possible? They just know. And I realize I'm confident I got a sterling recommendation from my former boss. And in fact, my former boss and this person are professionally good friends. Like they hang out and they talk a lot. So I'm confident whatever trust or confidence this new one has in me came from my boss. Sure, and that's sure. good. But that's fun and it feels very different and I'm enjoying that. But I mean, there's been a lot of stuff. I think within the last year is when I finally finished a draft good enough that I let other people edit my novel. And that was huge. I had a couple of fairly significant soul-searching moments. I had experience that caused me to evaluate my philosophies and priorities, first in sort of response to how I deal with racial issues, and then one with a friend who I am constantly at odds with, but who she's very sort of non-confrontational about it.
Mm.
And one day I pushed her far enough that she just screamed at me, which was horrible for both of us, but it also put some things into my head about respecting the viewpoints of others and things, and was a pretty important moment in me figuring out how to deal with people, and especially how to deal with people who feel differently about things than I do, or not even, in some cases, who just express things differently than I do.
Sure.
Yeah, a lot of that's been going on.
That's a lot of heavy stuff for 1 year.
It is, but I also think of it as pretty straightforward. My life is very stable these days, and I like it that way. I'm becoming more of a relaxed homebody. I still like traveling and things like that, but I don't like it as much as I did. I'm at the point now where, like, I wish I liked it more than I do. But so often, like, I'm just so excited when I can figure out, like, it's gonna be at least 2 months before I sleep in a bed that's not mine. Oh, I love that. And that kind of thing. But yeah, a lot of work stuff. I mean, there's not a lot else to do. I've got work stuff. Got my marriage. My marriage has not had a lot of big twists lately, which I'm fine and happy with. Video games don't count as significant ones. There's my writing, and I mean, I guess there's my gaming group. There haven't been big. We did lose somebody, which was not good, but that was a big twist actually.
Because they moved
in the last year. Yeah, they had to move away. In the last year or so, both my sister-in-law and more importantly, my wife have become role-playing gamers. And that's a pretty big thing, because yeah. My wife has never been a role-playing gamer. She's hung around. She knows about them. She sat in and watched them. She's helped me plan games, but she never gamed. And now she does. And that's kind of cool. I like that.
That's pretty cool.
I like sharing that with her. In fact, there was recently some of the players in my gaming group tried to convince her to join my gaming group. And I was like, it would take some adjusting for you and I both, but I think it could work. And she agreed, and she was flattered. But she's like, I don't want to give up my Tuesday nights. I was like, that's fair.
Yeah.
But she still games. Like, we'll go to cons and stuff like that, and I run the family is now playing D&D, you know?
Right.
And that, and she plays in that. And that may expand. I may run some stuff for them and stuff. So yeah, she's a real gamer now. It's pretty cool. I feel like I'm just naming things in my life at this point, so whatever. Alright. Is my turn to draw a thing? I think that is. I think you draw. That was the third one. We're really
twist
killing through them. What? That's not a saying. Killing through them? No. All right.
Is that Beth again?
It is Beth again. Stop peeking. What is your quote unquote dad joke? Are there types of jokes that you consider quote unquote mom jokes? Yes, there is exactly one mom joke.
What is it?
It is pronouncing garage sale garbage sale.
That's a mom joke?
Oh, I hate you. That is a specific reference to a specific Strong Bad email called garage sale.
Okay, what's that got to do with mom jokes?
Because he says it's a garage sale, more like a garbage sale, except don't call it garbage like that. Oh, that's a mom joke. Only moms get to say garbage like that.
Mom.
And in fact, at the end, somebody says that, and they said, only moms. And then Coach Z says, oh, then I can say it. And then they cut. Yeah, so that's the mom joke. Mom gets to say garbage instead of garage like that.
Dad jokes. I mean, it's one of those things that now that you've asked, I can't come up with any. But
no, this is a problem.
That's kind of my thing to tell dad jokes.
My father and my father-in-law really like puns, both of them.
Yeah, puns.
My father-in-law especially. There's one. This one's a little crude for a dad joke, but I think it's still okay. So there's a man, and he goes to a brothel, and he hires a girl and spends some time and then leaves. And a couple of days later, he goes back to the brothel to complain to the madam, and he says, the prostitute I was with, she gave me crabs. And she says, well, you only paid $20. What do you expect, lobsters?
No, that doesn't seem like a dad joke at all.
I feel like it's a dad joke when the kids weren't around. Because that's the thing. It's like...
Kids weren't around.
It's like a dirty joke, except it's not really dirty, and it's just goofy.
I guess.
No, but the reason it came up recently is I was watching an old episode of The American Office, and they were having to go through, like, sexual harassment training or whatever. And so in, like, one of the confessional bits, Michael Scott tells that joke. And he tells it fairly deadpan, like, very serious. And then he looks at the camera and he says, this is what's at stake here.
This is what's at stake.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, dad jokes. I've been telling dad jokes ever since I was old enough to tell any jokes. And of course, when I was actually in a, you know, stepdad kind of situation, boy, I really upped the dad jokes then. But now that I'm being asked about them, I can't remember.
Do you know why dragons sleep during the day?
Mm-mm.
Because they fight knights.
See, a lot of things like, a lot of the
not even a chuckle.
The dad jokes were like puns and situational things.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when a kid says I'm hungry and dad's I'm nice dad, to nice to meet you hungry, yeah. That kind of dumb thing.
Yep.
Which I never used that one because I heard that one so much when I was a kid, but it was stuff like that though. You know, little things you do with puns and language and stuff that I think what makes it a dad joke is that the dad thinks it's hilarious, but yes, nobody else does.
There is a classic dad joke that can only be done while driving. You're driving along and you see like some horses or some cows standing out there.
Yeah,
in the
outstanding
field.
In their field.
Those cows are outstanding in their field.
Yeah. And you have to make, that's another thing about dad jokes. You tell them every single time.
Yeah.
It's not just that you tell this joke. It's that you always tell it.
I have some joke that I tell all the time that nobody else likes, and I still tell it all the time because it cracks me up, but I can't remember what it was.
I mean, whenever you do the whole thing about hearing a siren and asking if it's my ride, that's right. A little bit of a dad joke.
That's a dad joke. Well, it came from Kevin Pollak, which I feel like does a lot of good dad jokes.
Yeah, but I can't remember. I mean, I did it all the time. But for me, when I did jokes that I thought were dad jokes, I didn't often repeat them. And so maybe that disqualifies them because I didn't do them over and over.
You know why elephants are wrinkly?
No.
You ever try to iron an elephant? No. Actually, do you know why elephants are big, gray, and wrinkled?
No.
Because if they were small, white, and smooth, they'd be aspirin.
Mm.
I love that you claim to be a big proponent of dad jokes, and I'm telling several, and not only do you not laugh, you have a sad look on your face. Like I've just said something horrible and you really wish I hadn't said it.
It doesn't have anything to do with you.
These are great jokes.
It's not
you. These are killers.
It's not you.
Comedy gold.
It's probably thinking about dad jokes makes me think about a lot of other things that I'd sooner not be thinking about.
All right, and draw another thing.
It's triggered me. This question has triggered
me. Beth, you've triggered William. You are history's greatest monster.
So it's not you. Don't.
It's Beth. Clearly.
Don't take it personally. I'm not good at hiding. You know what I mean? When
I know every time I count to 10, I can always tell where you are.
No, when I get punched in the emotions, I can't hide that I've got punched in the emotions.
Yeah, you.
I might not want to talk about it, but you'll be able to see it on my face, and you'll be able to...
Yeah, I have a lot to say about this, but I don't feel like this is a good time. What do you got?
What do you use your phone for? Could you go without it? I don't use my phone as a phone at all, and yes, I could go without it.
I extract basic nutrients from my phone, and no, I could not. I would die.
I mean, I use it to my family likes to text, so I text with them. I was going to say,
you've started texting a fair bit.
Yeah, well, but I don't often text them unless they text me.
But when you first got this phone, there was tell that you were basically going to keep it turned off unless you were actively using it. And I'm betting that does not happen. How often do you actually turn your phone off?
Well... I don't, but I don't. Okay.
You'll set it somewhere and not look at it or whatever. Yeah.
I've stopped.
And people do that.
I've stopped. I don't really shut it off anymore because I realized, why am I shutting it
Nobody
off?
Nobody shuts off. Okay.
But I don't have it. I don't have it now. It's not in the car. I don't have it with me.
That's just weird. What if you get in a wreck on the way home?
I mean.
He's just going to die, people.
It's
sad.
For 8.5 years, I didn't have a phone, and I drove here, and it was no big deal.
I mean, for decades, they didn't have seatbelts in cars.
And a lot of people survived.
Yeah. It doesn't mean now that they exist, you don't need to bother using them.
But it can mean that.
It really cannot, though. No, and I'm not saying it's a huge thing, but I'm saying it is a pretty straightforward... Well, and that's also the problem is... The world assumes you have it. That's the main reason I got one. The world assumes you have one. So people are way less likely to pull off to the side of the road and see if you need help because they just assume you've got a phone and you're calling somebody.
Yeah. So, yeah, I could definitely live without it. But, I mean, I mostly, I use it to, the biggest thing I use it for is if I'm reading a book. And I need to look stuff up. Because it used to be if I needed to look something up, I either had to have an actual dictionary next to me or I had to get up and go to the computer and look it up.
Yeah.
Now the phone's there, so I can do it a lot easier. And of course, now that I have the Kindle, I can just look things up by pressing the whatchamacallit.
Yeah.
But sometimes I still want to look.
It's called a screen.
Yeah, but you got to press the word.
A word. Okay, it's called a word. Sorry.
But there's still things I like to look up. Some books, when I'm reading, if they're talking about a particular historical figure and I just want to see what other sources are saying about it or just read the wiki on it to get a little more background, I'll do that. But I mean, you know, when I work at home, we have a desktop computer that I use, and so the phone is like,
yeah,
it's just not part of anything that I'm doing. So I don't really do very much with my phone, and I could definitely live without it.
I mean, I could live without mine. As with most new technologies for me, I quickly adapt to really needing them, and the phone is one. It would be rough to go without my phone. I don't use it for phone calls hardly ever. I do occasionally because my actual family, like not my in-laws, my other side of the family, they technically all have cell phones now. None of them are smartphones. None of them text except my niece. And hers is a smartphone. So I still have to call them on the phone. And I do that via my cell phone. But mostly I use my phone to text and email. Although it's a lot more checking email. I prefer to write email on an actual computer.
Like your lappy there.
Yeah. Well, the most common thing is at work. At work, I have a computer. And so I do most stuff there, and looking up things and stuff like that is all on the computer. At work, my phone is either for texting, and honestly, if it's like a coworker, I'm just IMing on the computer, so it's not even then. But texting, which I don't do a ton of at work, and listening to music, because my Apple Tunes is on here. And it's the only place where my Apple Tunes is. So I'll listen to music at work. At home, I will use it when I am not in front of my laptop and want to look something up. So basically, if I'm in front of the TV, one of two things is happening. One, I'm playing a video game and something is stuck or something I can't figure out, and I'll look it up real quick that way.
Yeah, we do that too.
Or two, I'm watching something and I want an IMDb something.
Yep, do that too.
I'll do that on my phone. Yep. Most other things, I'm either using my tablet or my laptop to do.
I can check my news feed on the phone, too. I do that sometimes.
I don't see news feeds, social media, these things I don't generally do on my phone for some reason. I'm not really sure why. It still doesn't feel right to me. And when I am not at work or home, I will use the phone to text, sometimes listen to music, and to win arguments.
To win arguments?
Yeah. We're at lunch. We're discussing something and, like, what year something came out. And I'm like, God, and nowadays you can't do that. Nowadays, it's not whoever is the most emphatic wins. No, you fucking Google it right then, and you have the answer. So it's like, ha! I told you it was 1984. So, or sometimes it's not even an argument, just questions like, holy shit, who was that in that movie we were watching? I don't remember. Hold on, let me look it up. Or, when I was at gaming the other day, and we were talking about who did... What movie was it? There was some movie that we were like, who directed that? And we couldn't remember. And I was like, it's probably like Robert Altman or Zemeckis. Maybe Spielberg on the outside, but probably not. And then I looked it up, and it was Altman. And I was like, ha, I can tell. A Robert Altman movie. What the hell was it? I don't remember now. Maybe it was Goonies. I don't think it was. Yeah, so that is a lot of what I use my phone for.
I mean, sometimes
people, YouTube and stuff like that.
People call me. I don't really call people on my phone, but some people.
People call who me. Call me are almost always telemarketers and scammers, and I usually answer so that I can then block the number.
Oh, you have to answer to block it?
I don't know how to do it without answering, but also every once in a while, somebody in an unknown number calls that is not a telemarketer or whatever.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like a business that is giving me information or whatever. Like, you know, like I went into a place and wrote something down. Or like, until I set up. For the longest time, my stylist was an unknown number until I finally decided to make a contact in it. So now I know. So I'm not willing to bet that because it's an unknown number, it has to be a scam or telemarketer.
I always do.
So, and that is why your hair looks like that. Because your stylist can't get a hold of you.
She doesn't have my number.
Because you blocked her.
No, I...
Do you go to a stylist or a barber?
I mean, I just go to the same person that my wife goes to.
So it's probably a stylist.
But, I mean, she doesn't really do anything to my hair except, like, trim it, so...
Yeah. No, this is the thing, because there's a huge difference between a barber and a stylist, and one of the hugest parts is the price. Yeah. Way more expensive. Right. And it's funny, when I sit around with my in-laws, and my brother-in-law is complaining about the cost of his haircut as a barber, because it's up to like $15. And he's like, this is just too much. And my father-in-law is there, and he's like, I go to the same guy I've been going to for decades. I give him $10, it costs $9, and I tell him to keep the $1 in change. And my brother-in-law sees me, he's like, you, so how much do you pay for a haircut? And I look at him and I say, I go to a stylist. You do not want to know. And he's like, you're right, I probably don't. I was like, 15 would be amazing.
I remember paying $5 for a haircut. I remember that.
But you had to listen to them complaining about Harry Truman the whole time.
No.
You are old, is what I'm saying.
I am old.
You are very old.
I'm an old man.
Okay. Are I guess we need one more, but it's going to have to be short.
Well, is it you? It's you, I think.
I think it's
me. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we're really tearing through.
What's wrong with us?
I
think we're too tired to fight it. You know, we used to fight it so hard. Now we just pull the questions, answer them, get the hour done.
What are some of your favorite YouTube channels? I feel, intrinsically, we've had a very similar question recently. This is from Jazz, by the way. I also feel intrinsically that the other one was from Jazz. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it is slightly differently worded. The premise is pretty much exactly the same. But I believe here she's talking about our favorite YouTube channels, and before it was something more along the lines of recommending YouTube channels or something like that. So, in other words, it is definitively a different question, but also pretty much the same question.
Which, and the same answer. I mean, there's like news and science news and stuff. I mean, out of the news feeds I get, I can't say that I like one of them more than the other.
Yeah.
The reason I take in so many sources is just to try to get a balanced view of things.
Wide sample size.
Yeah, but I don't really like this one or that one or the other. I mean, although, you know, I suppose the science news stuff, but no, it's the same difference. It's all this stuff I get on YouTube is basically my news feed. It's various news sources, and none of them, like, are my favorite or that I like them individually. I just like to have a diverse feed that I think gives me a good sense of what's going on in the world.
I just prefer whatever I think is the most right-wing I can find.
But I mean, I get news from India, and there's an Africa news service that is you can get from YouTube that covers the whole continent, and Telesur from South America that's very socialist leaning, that's kind of interesting, and I just get all this stuff. But they're not favorites; they're just ways for me to get various perspectives on the news.
So sometimes nowadays, I'll get a YouTube ad. This isn't happening as much lately, because, of course, lately it's all politics, but I would get a YouTube ad, and it was one of those you can skip after 5 seconds, but the ad itself was like 12 minutes long.
Yeah.
And they all seemed to be very weird, right-leaning political screeds / conspiracy theories. I remember one a couple years ago about explaining how saying happy holidays was actually, in what attempted to be a very rational, logical, scientific explanation, actually was ruining America. And I watched for about a minute and a half, and then I was like, no, show me my funny cat fails or whatever. But then I encountered something really weird just the other day. It was an ad. You could skip after 5 seconds. It was an ad for an NBC show that was just starting. The ad was 43 minutes long. The ad contained
the
entire first episode.
That's happened to me before, yeah.
I didn't watch it, but it was just there. There was this guy's like, hi, I'm so-and-so from this new show, blah, 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 blah. You should watch it. And in fact, you can watch the premiere episode right now. Just sit right there. And then the episode started.
Yeah.
And it was like an hour long. It was an hour long show. It wasn't even like a half hour thing.
Yeah. That's happened to me,
too. I was like, whoa, that is weird. And I'm not necessarily opposed to, as long as I can skip out, which I did. So I can't tell you anything about the show. I also recently discovered, well, I don't know. I am operating on a theory lately. YouTube seems to be suggesting things based on decisions I have made outside of YouTube.
Well, I mean, I think they've got a way to do that.
I didn't used to think that, but I now is the thing.
Facebook had a way to do that. I think they even admitted that they did at one time.
I watch a lot of those Riff Tracks things, the Mystery Science Theater guys now doing that, on Amazon. And one day, they recommended, it turns out there's a bunch of them, like the little shorts they do, or sometimes like just a best of mashup of a particular movie or whatever, that it just started recommending to me. Mm. And in the process, I found out that there's a lot of these, and a lot of Mystery Science Theater ones, and... not that I advocate this, but a lot of full episodes of Mystery Science Theater just sitting around on some backwoods channels on YouTube. So that's been interesting to find. I watch a lot of British stuff. Channel 4, UK TV, Taskmaster has his own channel. I like that. I still watch College Humor. I still watch Cracked. I mean, the usual suspects. I got some cosplay videographers that are on there. Mineral Blue, Kevin the Director. Hannah Hart, Mamrie Hart, Grace Helbig. I'm trying to go through my actual subscription list. I subscribe to Geek and Sundry. I don't watch it.
I don't subscribe anymore because they don't really have anything on there. They moved everything to... not to Twitch, to something else.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they moved everything to some other...
Mixer or whatever, one of the other... the Twitch knockoffs?
Something like that. Or maybe it was Twitch they moved... I don't remember.
Have you watched any Twitch?
No.
I tried watching Twitch. There's an app on Roku that I could do it. There's just like one. And I tried it. It was interesting at the time. It was fun because there was a game. There's a game, Monster Hunter World. I haven't played it. But I've been curious about it. And so I found a channel that was doing it, and I just watched people playing it. And that was kind of cool to, like, see, oh, this is what it would be like to play the game. But, like, it wasn't anything that drew me back, and I certainly didn't get, like, attached to any particular streamers or anything like that. It's weird.
But, I mean, even when I subscribed to Geek and Sundry, it, you know, there's only things on there every so often. It wouldn't qualify as one of my favorite channels or anything.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of times I do... I just search for stuff on YouTube.
Yeah.
And then when I discover that my searches are leading me to the same channel over and over, I just start subscribing to that channel because I'm like, there's a bunch of shit there. And instead of relying on my random search, I can just go to that channel and see what they like.
Yep, I do that too. And sometimes I end up unsubscribing later, but, you know.
Yeah.
But you just give it a chance.
And I rely a lot on YouTube has learned about me. And so it has a lot of... well, I'll go through recommendation things, and I won't exactly watch everything they recommend, but if I go through the recommended list, a few videos in, I'll be like, oh, yeah, I'll watch that. YouTube has a bad memory. YouTube likes to suggest videos to me that I've already watched, and I'm like, no, I already watched that. But
I'm subscribed.
It also knows my penchant for rewatching things I like.
I'm subscribed to a couple farmer vlogs.
That tracks.
I don't watch all their videos, but I watch some of them. They, you know, they have things like, you know, they're picking corn or they're baling hay or just stuff like that.
I've discovered I like watching movie trailers. Movie trailers are a whole racket now, but they also make movie trailers that really, like, get me excited. And frequently, whatever the movie is, isn't. But they're really good at, like, editing it and having the right music to make it very exciting. So, like, for example... I have many times recently watched the official trailer for the Black Panther movie just because it's really cool and it has cool music and stuff like that. And I just enjoy those sort of supercuts of the neat action scenes and the cool background music, stuff like that. So I watch a lot of movie trailers just because I think they're cool movie trailers. All right, good. Our prison time is done, so we can get out of this. if you'd like to learn more about the magical talking hat, I don't know, listen next week. If you'd like to tell us more, go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and comment on any of the, like, six questions we covered. Man, I don't know who it is that writes the blog entries and the show notes, but whoever it is probably really psyched that they won't have these six questions, so then they won't be able to write them down whenever this episode gets posted. That must be awesome for them.
You think you'd even plan it that way sometimes?
Possibly.
Let's pull a whole bunch of questions.
I feel like they couldn't, because we're the ones doing it and they're the ones doing it.
I don't know
how
much control they have over it. They make us do it.
It seems like it would be a good plan if I were them.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah, no, without a doubt.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's good enough. What is it? Chinese spam?
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.